big sky, big potential. In association with Mills and Reeve, this is Eastern Promise. Achieving more together. Welcome to episode 95 of the Eastern Promise podcast. Join me, Mike Rigby, as we look at the wonderful things happening in the east of England and the remarkable people making them happen. And if you would like an example of these wonderful, remarkable people, look no further than Rachel Hales of Get Synergized, creator of the With Purpose platform. Rachel's passion is bringing nonprofits and businesses together to create new, exciting partnerships. But we'll kick things off with a look ahead to the East of England Tech Collaboration event, hosted and sponsored by the University of East Anglia and supported by Cambridge Tech Week. You can't have missed the theme this week, collaboration and partnership. So, let's you and I dive headlong into this 95th episode of Eastern Promise. Now, I must be honest, I was already pretty excited about Cambridge Tech Week this year. I went last year. I went to the brilliant launch event in Cambridge at the offices of Mills and Reeve, of whom you may well have heard on this very podcast. And then I found out that the University of East Anglia had answered the call to promote collaboration across the region by holding a special event at the Sainsbury Centre on the UEA campus on the evening of Tuesday the 23rd of April 2024. This event will be a celebration of partnership and cooperation, and it is my profound privilege to be chairing the panel at that event. Oh, very funny. Luckily, we have actual talent on the panel. Martin Frost, CBE, serial founder, investor and entrepreneur. Professor Sheng Qi, Professor of Pharmaceutical Material Science and Technology at the University of East Anglia. Dr. Jerry Wu, Head of Investments at Toothpark. And Hannah Smith, Investment Director and MD at Anglia Capital Group. We also have the wonderful Dr. Soraya Jones, Royal Society Entrepreneur in Residence, and the mercurial Chris Bruce, Chair of the Steering Committee for Cambridge Tech Week 2024. This mighty team has been assembled through the power of the interweb to give a preview of the event and find out why it's so exciting. So, here we are with the three quarters of the panel and Chris Bruce, our overall chairman of the board on the evening, and the wonderful Dr. Soraya Jones as well. But could I start by asking, Sheng, could you introduce yourself, what you do, and tell us what you're really looking forward to for the event?
Okay, so I'm Sheng Qi. I'm a professor of pharmaceutical materials and technology. I work at the School of Pharmacy at the University of East Anglia, which is this time the host of the launch event. I'm very much looking forward to welcoming the entrepreneurs, the inventors, the innovators, the investors from way outside East Anglia, you know, anywhere really, but looking forward to discuss new ideas, potential collaborations with people, as well as showcase what UEA and Norwich Research Park and the bigger East England we have to offer in the space of innovation and enterprise. So yeah, looking forward to meeting everybody.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Hannah Smith, MD and Investment Director of Anglia Capital Group. Can I ask you to give us your points of excitement, please?
Thanks, Mike. Yes, no, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to connect with everybody, encourage, you know, innovation, share stories for growth and success. And I think it's set to be a really exciting week.
Fantastic. Martin Frost, CBE. Please don't make, I when I was recording the intros to you all, the number of takes I had to have at this about saying the word entrepreneur, which I still can't really say on command. I don't know why. But what are you looking forward to from this event?
I'm really, really looking forward to meeting people who I don't yet know. I've had the privilege to get involved in building a big business in and around Cambridge over the last 10 years. That's had me very head down, focused on medicine and surgery. But the opportunities are way beyond that in Cambridge. And I'm really looking forward to meeting folk, trying to make their own mark in the region, and seeing how we can all help achieve that.
Soraya.
Yes, thank you, Mike. As you know, I'm also the ambassador for Cambridge Tech Week 2024. Last year was an amazing, super occasion celebrating the first inaugural event. And this year, I'm looking forward to the Camtech Week 2024. But I'm also the Royal Society Entrepreneur in Residence for UEA Science Faculty. I'm deeply full of deep gratitude to UEA and NRP and the supporters, Mills and Reef and Cambridge Wireless, Camtech Week, Chris Bruce, for enabling us, you know, UEA and NRP and the supporters to host the 23rd April of event. I'm really looking forward to meeting old friends as well as new friends, seeing who's out there to explore potential of collaborations, playing to the strength of each region, because I truly believe that as an ecosystem, we have the potential for further collaboration, working with each other, and hopefully achieve more innovation to provide a more powerful offering to the world outside.
You know, the mic can't capture the amount of nodding that was going on there while you were talking. It's almost like the bit in Holford's that sells the novelty dogs for the back of the car. We're all nodding along, and how fantastic that was. Chris!
Thank you, Mike, and thank you all the contributors today, and all the parties that Soraya has mentioned that is combining and collaborating to make this happen. This year for Cambridge Tech Week, I was determined that we made a big effort to outreach beyond Cambridge, beyond the UK, to encourage folks to come to Cambridge Tech Week, because I see this as a platform for global tech to come to meet. And that includes our relations and our collaboration potential across the East of England. And as Soraya knows, right from the offering, I said, Soraya, I want to do an event in outside of Cambridge, in Norwich, Ipswich, somewhere else, to really give the message that we have an opportunity to grow the capability across the East of England with some fantastic capabilities and assets and knowledge and insights. But we need to scale up together and really be the sort of the powerhouse that was mentioned in the Chancellor's recent budget, contribute that strongly to the UK GDP and to be collaborating on a global scale. So I'm really looking forward to meeting the eclectic group of people that have already registered for the event: investors, entrepreneurs, other members of the tech ecosystem, academics, and really meet new people and encourage new conversations, which will lead to some sort of business impact in the end.
Well, I'm totally looking forward to it. The whole shebang, and not just the 23rd, but that is going to be, what a way to kick it off. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you all for being on the panel. Thank you, Chris and Soraya, for involving Eastern Promise. This is absolutely what we're set up to encourage, to celebrate and to showcase. I look forward to seeing you all there. It's going to be wonderful. Thank you very much. And just as an aside at the end, Hannah, Sheng, Martin, I would love to get you on Eastern Promise individually at some point and talk about the work you do, because that's absolutely the sort of thing we want to celebrate and support. Mm-hmm. But thank you for asking me, I should say. I'm really honoured and proud.
Great. Thanks everyone. Look forward to seeing you all in person on the 23rd.
Yeah. Well, if you're not convinced to join us on the 23rd of April now, I doubt you ever will be. Thank you to the panel of Hannah, Jerry, Sheng Chi and Martin, Soraya Jones and Chris Bruce. Tickets are still available to join us at the Sainsbury Centre if you go to cambridgetechweek.co.uk, Click on Events and then Collaboration Events and select the East of England event. And then do Founders Live as well. Well, go on, what are you waiting for? Go on! Eastern Promise is a not-for-profit community interest company, and I couldn't be prouder to have Mills & Reeve as our partner. A UK-wide law firm with a global reach, Mills & Reeve believes that by building connections in the communities within which they work, great things can be accomplished, and they're not wrong. That's exactly what I believe too, and doing this podcast has in just 3 short years introduced me to some extraordinary people. All of which is the perfect cue to introduce Rachel Hales of Get Synergized and the creator of the With Purpose platform. Rachel is passionate about linking up businesses with non-profit organizations like mine, helping both sectors to communicate their needs and offer help more effectively. This, in turn, has created lasting partnerships of mutual benefit to both businesses and non-profits. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Mike, I've heard fewer buzzwords in a beehive. I want to hear from people in the non-profit and business communities who are actually using this platform effectively. And so you shall. For I met with Rachel, along with Hannah Chapman, charity manager of the Cambridge Acorn Project, a charity offering therapeutic services to children, young people and families who have experienced trauma and face financial hardship. And Nick Finlayson-Brown, partner and head of the Cambridge office of Mills & Reeve. And so it was that Rachel, Hannah and I joined Nick on the top floor of Botanic House, Mills & Reeve's beautiful offices on Hills Road in Cambridge. Rachel Hales of Get Synergized is sitting across from me looking incredibly worried. And I don't know why, because what a legend.
Well, you know, I've done my own podcast series. It's always funny when you're on the other side of it, though, isn't it?
It is. Well, I don't know. Nobody's asked me to be on their podcast yet.
Well, maybe, yeah, I'll have to get you on mine.
Well, there you go. But I'm absolutely thrilled you're on mine.
Oh, thank you.
So, Rachel Hales, we also have...
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm from Cambridge Acorn Project.
And Cambridge Acorn Project is...
So we're a charity, we work with children and families who've experienced trauma and abuse and are facing financial hardship. And we provide panoramic or holistic therapeutic support inside and outside of the therapy room.
Now, I listened to your contribution to Rachel's podcast, and a lot of what you said sort of chimed with my limited experience of Cambridgeshire, it has to be said, but we'll get into why in a bit, because I want to introduce Nick Finlayson-Brown of our very good friends at Mills & Reeve. Tell us more about what you do here in this fantastic building with the best view in Cambridge.
Thank you very much, Mike. Well, we are a national law firm and we have one of our largest offices based in Cambridge, and we're full service, so we do everything that a law firm would do, from commercial to sort of private client work. But of particular interest to me, because I'm head of office here, is what we do in our community as well, which is why I've come across Rachel and today Hannah, and are really pleased to be here with you today.
It's a delight to have you all here, and I've been really looking forward to this. Rachel, tell us about what Get Synergized does, because there are so many people sort of in my orbit, both here and in Norfolk, in Suffolk, and wider, I hope, who really could learn a thing or two from you.
Oh, thank you. So my background's working in communities with children, young people and families, and back in 2018, I noticed a gap between how businesses is engaged in their community and how nonprofits look to engage with businesses. And so what I do is I close that gap and I provide 3 services. One is the With Purpose community and platform, which involves networking events where businesses and nonprofits can come together much more easily on a level playing field, but with purpose at the heart, so that they can look at businesses sharing ways that they can help their community, but also communities offering opportunities for their business to engage with them. So it's like kind of this skill sharing, really. What do I need? Where can I help? Which improves people's lives. And then I work with businesses around their strategy, around ESG, social value, social responsibility. And then I train nonprofits on how to build relationships with businesses. So 3 services, one aim, really, to improve communities and improve lives. And that's how I've got to connect with Mills and Reeve, with Nick and with Hannah.
Now, I read a bit of the piece you recently posted on LinkedIn about this. You sort of fresh off the plane from Australia. What makes somebody go on this journey fresh off a plane from Australia?
Oh, really interesting. So I turned 40. I had opportunities ahead of me. I'd been working at a brilliant charity in Cambridge, but just felt like it was time for change. And I was single and I was able to travel a little bit, hadn't done it when I was younger. And I just really spent a bit of time thinking about, what am I passionate about? What do I love? Where can I make a difference? What am I good at? And I love just bringing people together to improve lives. And so, yeah, Australia was a good time for me to think through that. And because of my background in communities, I felt there was a real value I could add to the business world here to really help them engage more meaningfully in their community. And I understood it because I've worked and lived and seen the poverty in Cambridge firsthand. And I just couldn't ignore it. And I thought, why don't we set up a consultancy service that helps the two sectors to collaborate? And here I am.
I mean, that's I recognise a lot of what you're saying in how I got to do this. But on Eastern Promise, we went to interview Vicky Neal, who's the head of foundation at Cambridge United. And we actually did that at the Galfrid School, which I actually passed on the way here today, which is sort of by the Abbey Stadium and is at one of the most deprived parts of the city. This is one of the most unequal cities in the country. And what strikes me is not so much that fact, but that there are so many dedicated people trying to address that fact, yeah, which I think is hugely positive for the city. And what struck me is, despite Cambridge United's place in sort of the football firmament, which is not really relevant, they got this strategy that was so perceptive, so engaged, and so well-directed. And you talk in your podcast about the difference between strategic thinking and impromptu thinking. How does all that mash together? Because that really struck a chord with me, because I am impromptu down to my core. I'm through somebody, I think it's one of your guests in your podcast, which I recommend to everyone, says, and I will stop speaking in a second, is, you know, seeds, you throw out all these seeds and then forget to water them.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think nonprofits really struggle with time and resource. And it's very easy to put out lots of requests to all of the businesses in the community, but actually you need to be a bit more thought through and targeted. It's going to save you time and energy, and really identify businesses that are a good alignment and a good fit and share the values of your organisation. I think that's really important. And I help nonprofits think through that so that they can make better use of their time and get a better return on their investment. Because I think there's an approach and a strategic way of doing it, which is the work I've been doing with the Acorn Project. And Hannah will be sharing some of the successes she's been seeing with the growth of their business partnerships and what they've been doing. And I think for businesses, it can also be a bit of, oh, it comes to the end of the year and, oh, we need to pick some charity to do something with, or it's Christmas time. And I work with businesses to embed a strategic approach to their social responsibility that runs throughout the whole year. And I've done some work with some businesses in Cambridge who have sort of said, or Cambridgeshire and wider counties, who have said, we do a lot, it's very scattered, it's not very thought through, and we don't really know the impact that we're making. And I think it's really important that we're strategic, so not only does it save time and energy, but it really gets to directly to the people that really need it in our communities.
I mean, that's fantastic. It sounds like an ideal point, please, to bring in Dr. Hannah Abraham. It's Hannah Abraham, isn't it? No, I've got that completely wrong. I misread that totally.
If you want my full name, it's Hannah Chapman.
Hannah Chapman. I don't know where I got Hannah Abraham. I do apologise. Let me take that one from the top. That's going to go on the cutting room floor. Dr. Hannah Chapman. Heavy edit there.
It's so weird being referred to as doctor.
Well, I'm sorry. I have these all these people, I think, work really, really hard to get there. And they... I like to try and honour that, and by using it, even if...
I tend to only use it when I, like, buy myself something, you know, shopping online, and it's fun to see it through the label.
What? Hannah, I'll just keep it simple. Hannah, could you tell us a bit about how everything that Rachel's described has worked for you at the Cambridge Acorn Project?
Yeah, so I think back in 2022, we had grown significantly. We started in 2014. Need skyrocketed during COVID, and we also got some really important National Lottery funding in during COVID. And so we'd kind of got to the point where we were rapidly expanding in 2022, and we realised we needed to think about diversifying our income, really. So it took us to the point where we actually thought, right, we need to be more strategic. We can't just rely on grants and trusts. We need to think about how else we work to meet the huge need we're seeing at our front door. And so that led me to work with Rachel. I remember going to the one of, was it the first?
Is it the Great post-COVID? Hotel?
It was, yeah. And and it was a great morning. And that kind of led us to do a discovery call. And it was an opportunity, I think, to sort of be poked a bit and think, right, we really need to put some energy into this. You know, we've got skills within our charity that we can draw upon to try and really do this. And Rachel really helped us to refine our thinking and just remember that actually we can offer something to businesses that's really valuable, and we can offer a way for businesses to have impact on the front line. And that isn't always easy, I think, for businesses when they're thinking about their kind of responsibility to their local environment of how do you actually do that? And it's through organisations like us that can really help businesses make a difference and you know, work together to support the whole of our local environment. And so we, that was, I guess, really the beginning of our journey. At that point, we didn't have any business partnerships in 2022. Now we have a whole family of businesses kind of surrounding our organisation that are really helping to drive us forward. We've had organisations that are able to give us key skills that help widen our offer on the front line. So we've had, can I name a different law firm? So we have Tees Law, who have helped us to start our pro bono law clinic. And so we work in partnership there because, you know, there's huge amounts of inequality within the legal system. It's incredibly hard to get legal aid and, you know, it's not properly funded. And so we found out that we've got lots of clients who are actually representing themselves in court without any legal expertise and themselves, you know, having to kind of find out how they do this as they go along in private law matters. So Tees were really able to help us with their skills to meet that need on the front line. But we also have a range of businesses who have been able to help us with our marcoms, with our kind of business strategy for the charity of how we actually present ourselves. And that's really important because we channel all of our money to the frontline work, right? We have very, very little overheads. We don't run any buildings. We all work out of kind of community buildings or businesses who generously give us space. And so what these businesses have been able to do is help us improve our marketing, our communication, our branding, the way we talk about ourselves, so that other businesses may also be more interested, because when we can better speak their language, we're going to be able to make better relationships. And so that's kind of where we find ourselves today. We've had an amazing journey with Rachel alongside us, who's challenged us and helped refine our thinking, but also I think held me particularly accountable to make sure that I don't let the ball drop and that we're continuing to go.
That accountability point is crucial, but at this point, I actually, speaking of businesses, I want to bring in Nick to talk about the ESG point of view from Mills and Reeve. I mean, you are a company that I looked at your values and I was so impressed. Everything chimed with what I'm trying to do. And I'm sure that the same is true for Rachel. Not normal to speak for you, Rachel, but I'm sure it's true. What I sat in a meeting of the Norfolk Economic Strategy Workshop at Breckland. And one business said, it was Vanilla Electronics from Thetford, said, we want to get involved in ESG. We do not know where to start. Where did Mills and Reeve start? And what's your approach to ESG?
So it's a really interesting question. So I took over my current role about 5-6 years ago, and we already had it was then the CSR strategy, which has morphed into our ESG, which is really what you'd expect, what it says on the tin from the ESG perspective. But what I found particularly difficult as somebody coming new into the role was, well, we want to give back to the community. Where do we start? Because as you say, and as we've all said, you know, Cambridge on the one hand is an economic powerhouse. On the other hand, you only have to go a few miles north of Cambridge and you've got social deprivation as bad as anywhere else in the country, if not worse. So how do we deal with that? And that's why meeting Rachel at an event, I think it was It Takes a City event, where Rachel was bringing businesses together to try and help charities, was such an eye-opener for me, because there are very few organisations within the city where that sort of collective is working. And in particular, one thing that I think we should see a lot more of is businesses with a joint purpose trying to help things like Acorn and other worthy charities within the city. What Rachel helps to do is to bring focus to that and bring a strategy around it. She's got her networking with Purpose, which we're sponsoring, which is an amazing way. I mean, we hosted an event here just before Christmas. I think we had about 40 businesses, 40 charities all coming together to do a speed dating. Now, the difficulty with that is that you come away from it and think, I'd like to sponsor 40 charities. But what Rachel helps us to do is give us focus as to where we direct ourselves. But I definitely think, we were talking about this earlier, there is a piece around a more collaborative approach between businesses to help charities and charitable endeavour within the city.
And I think that what Mills and Reef does is remarkable. But before I sort of bring the others in, do you approach this as Mills and Reef as a kind of, you centre your ESG work on each office and each office knows its sort of hinterland and where to engage and to talk to people like Rachel to engage? Or is that something that more comes down kind of like from Mills and Reef HQ and this is how you'll do it? Or I'm just intrigued to know how you sort of pick.
So we've got 8 offices across the UK and we tend to have a single charity that we support collectively. And we support that through various all office events. So we have a summer event where we'll go and walk in the Lake District and it becomes slightly competitive, it's good fun. We meet people from the other offices, but we also raise a lot of money for a specific sort of firm-wide charity. As you break it down, each office will have its own charitable trust, which we use to put larger sums of money into specific charities. So we paid for a paediatric ambulance for Adam Brooks, for example. So that's another aspect. The other aspect is we then choose particular charities and get involved with particular charities in the communities that our offices are in. So that's very much down to each office making its choice between the charities that are out there. I guess there's a further level down, which is we have a head of office in each office and we get to meet the likes of Rachel through our other offices. And as a result of that, get to meet more charities, not-for-profits, and that can be directional as well.
That's fantastic, and I really commend that approach. Rachel, not to get you to... And the trouble with this is, I really want to dive into what you do, and how long have we been talking? 20 minutes now, so I've got about 10 minutes left. Are you able to talk us through your matching process, or is that like a trade secret, or can you give us some ideas of how you go about it?
Yeah, I can, absolutely. I think the first thing is I equip and empower nonprofits to do it themselves, because long after I'm gone, we need to teach them the strategies and the skills, because it's their employees that are building the relationships with the businesses. If I do it for them, I'm not actually helping. So a big part of what I do is teach them the skills and the tools and the strategies on how to think through, if I'm going to approach a business, how might I talk to the business, as you were saying, Hannah, about using the right language and thinking about what business motivations are and what they need. So I train them in how to do it. With the businesses, because I work with them around unlocking the S of the ESG, which is the social side, and I do a lot of strategy on businesses around that, when I know about all the charitable organisations in the communities, I can add that into the strategy of a business and say, I recommend these organisations for you to partner with, which is massively beneficial to the business because I'm working with the, which is massively beneficial to the nonprofits because I know about them. So when I have them in my community, I can recommend to businesses, you should connect with these organisations. And then it's up to them whether they want to do that independently or they want me to do some brokerage for them as a business. So the business consult with me to then broker the partnerships with the nonprofit. But the middle part, which is the sweet spot and where the magic really happens, is what Nick was saying, where we've been running networking events between the two. And my job is to create the platform and facilitate partnerships. where people build relationships on shared values and synergy, and they decide how that might move forward rather than me doing it for them. I think it creates a lot more innovation and a lot more fluidity.
Can I just add as well, in the events that you have run, I think there is a real, and that one before Christmas, I was really struck, there was a real buzz in the room, and there was a real willingness between businesses and the charities to talk and look for opportunities. It had a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, and I think Hannah and I, we were talking about that, about this being sort of like where purpose is at the centre. We're not pitching or selling or trying to create more business. You were saying that, weren't you, from your point of view as a non-profit coming into that space?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most important things about the Get Synergised networking for us is knowing that businesses are there wanting to be there. And it's not like you're going into a business networking space where you're having to try and make yourself really kind of attractive. You're going in knowing that actually businesses are wanting to build those relationships. So it's a really positive experience. But I also think the one before Christmas was particularly beneficial for us because of the structured way that the networking happened. And I think it's a really inclusive and accessible way to do it. And it really helps to disrupt, I guess, the kind of the cliquiness that can sometimes occur in networking where people just stick to the people they know. Actually, by having that kind of speed dating structure around it, it really encourages you to speak to as many people as possible. And I think when everyone is strapped for time, resources, capacity, it was a really amazing way to make lots of connections, get your message, or refine your elevator pitch and get it done, and actually see if there is like synergy there to kind of follow up.
Yeah, so I think going back to your point, I create and enable it to happen. And I'm really thankful to Nick and Mills and Reeve and Kevin Appleton at BMW who have been social value partners sponsoring these events to make them possible. But in response to that, what I noticed was that both parties wanted to connect also between the events. They found that the events were brilliant, but they kind of almost craved more connection. And so I've created the With Purpose community platform, which is now an online space in line with the networking events alongside it, where those who sign up can interact online. It's a closed LinkedIn platform for those that join, and we share loads of top tips, loads of information. But again, we're creating a space to enable people to build those partnerships, which is one of the challenges that we've seen. Businesses don't know the nonprofits out there and where they need help. And nonprofits can struggle to find the right businesses to partner with. Well, I just bring the two together and make it much more possible. So with the thanks to Mills and Reeve and BMW, we've been able to really grow that network. And that is getting a lot of interest all the time. And I'm really wanting more businesses to join, as Nick said, to create that place where not only do businesses able to engage in their community, but they might want to also engage with other socially minded focused businesses that they may want to do business with, because those businesses also share their values. And that's really important in any way that we connect or do business with one another.
Well, I'm sold.
Well, I think you should join.
I think I will. What I actually think in the context of what we're talking about today, and this frightens me, I have to say, you mentioned being held accountable. What is that like? To be the person of being held accountable, the non-profit being held accountable.
Being held accountable by Rachel.
Indeed.
What's that message at 10 o'clock at night?
Have you done that?
Yeah, I think for me, I am not a big user personally of social media. And so like I had a very dormant LinkedIn account. And our charity had a very dormant social media presence. And I think that, like, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of work to go. And I'm really excited for our work that's just about to start with Conscious Comms or Conscious Communications on that. But I think Rachel really pushed me out of my comfort zone to start really using LinkedIn a lot more to make sure that we were shouting about all the amazing work that we're doing and that businesses are doing to support us, that other organisations are doing to support us. And so, you know, when we're getting donations, we're really putting the time and effort in to shout about that and to take the time to write blogs, to do all of that feedback that helps businesses, and making sure we're doing it in a really sensible way that's showing impact for them. And that's a skill that we've got within the charity that we can use. We can draw on our research background to do it and help make sure that the data is there. But yeah, I think it's just making sure that I'm doing it. And I guess it's that development of a personal relationship, and personal relationships are so important, I guess, in business, but in everything that we do. And I guess because we have that, because we've grown that, you're able to hold me accountable in a way that means I actually post on LinkedIn. And you know, the amount of engagement we're now getting is really significant, and people are reaching out then because of that.
That's really encouraging when that happens. So, Nick, as we sort of wind to a close in this interview, what's your message? What's Mills and Reeves' message for businesses looking to get more active in the ESG space? What experience can Mills and Reeves impart to them that will be useful on their journey?
I guess in some senses, it's common sense, which is getting out there and looking for the events that are going on and partnering. I mean, I'm selling Rachel here, but get in touch with Rachel at Get Synergized, look at the Networking with Purpose LinkedIn account, and try to delve into the different charitable bodies that are out there. Look for some kind of structure around what you're doing, perhaps. Look for areas that are charitable giving, which, or charitable aid, which are consistent with your firm's strategy and ethos. And just get out there and speak to people.
Well, I think businesses such as Mills and Reeve do a huge amount that sadly is often overlooked, and certainly centrally, not locally, but I'd say in central, I don't want to use the dread word Westminster, but centrally is approaching being derided when it's actually vital, and you are proving that vital link in the chain between communities and business and non-profits. And hugely proud of all of you. I have no problem selling Rachel at all. All of you, I wish I could give you, you know, more time than we've got, but it's fantastic to have you all here. All power to every single one of you, and I hope Hannah, we can, once I get your name right, we can pick up the conversation specifically about what you do another day.
Absolutely. Can I just do a shout out?
You can shout to whoever you like.
If there are any businesses looking to have some impact, we would be delighted to hear from any business that might want to support us with our website and really making sure that our website's accessible and speaks to the audience, cambridgeacornproject.org.uk.
Well, let's do a quick website off. Rachel, what's yours?
www.getsynergized.com.
And it's, I hope I have this right, mills-reeve.com?
Correct.
There you go. Well, thank you all. I've really enjoyed it. I'm really excited where all these various journeys go next. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
And dear listener, I can confirm I have now joined the With Purpose platform, and I'm really looking forward to making those new partnerships. Thank you to the effervescent Rachel Hales, to Hannah Chapman of the Cambridge Acorn Project, who impressed me so much I'm going to dedicate another episode to the Cambridge Acorn Project's work, and to Nick Finlayson-Brown and Deborah Dawson of our very good friends at Mills and Reeve. To find out more about the Cambridge Acorn Project, go to cambridgeacornproject.org.uk. And if you want to get more details about Mills and Reeve, it's mills-reeve.com. And of course, to glean more information on Get Synergized and the With Purpose platform, go to getsynergized.com. If you're waiting for crowd sorcery, thank you.
Crowd sorcery.
Then I'm afraid
sorcery.
It's not here. Now, don't worry. It's gone on to a better place. No. I simply mean it's got too big for its britches. I've been putting out crowd sorcery. Oh. At the end of every podcast, and also just by itself to give you, the listener, maximum choice. However, the crowd sorcery audience is big enough for it to stand alone and also make this podcast between 5 and 10 minutes shorter. Oh, at least get the timing
right. Crowd sorcery.
And so, the latest episode of the particular feature we're discussing will appear in the Eastern Promise podcast feed as normal. But I mean, who'd balk at less of this, Bobbins? Eh, mes amis, c'est ça. That was episode 95 of the Eastern Promise podcast. I was Mike Rigby, your guide to the wonderful world of the East of England. Next time, I'll be chatting to serial entrepreneur, parallel angel investor, mentor, chair, trustee and author, Peter Cowley. We'll be discussing the investment ecosystem within Cambridge and the wider East of England. And Peter will be speaking frankly about his ongoing journey as a cancer patient and his new book, Public Success, Private Grief. Peter is truly inspirational, and I hope you'll join me for that very soon. Until then, bye for now. To hear other episodes of the Eastern Promise podcast, and to find out more about what we do, go to our website at easternpromise.org.uk. Eastern Promise is a Prior's Croft production in association with Mills and Reeve, achieving more together.